The scripture today comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, and probably when you saw the sermon title, you knew exactly what it was going to be. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
Thank you, LaVon. Who sang that song?
The birds.
Yes, they did. Who sang it before the birds?
Solomon.
Solomon, yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess you could say that. That's not fair.
It worked well.
It was written by Pete Seeger. But it was first performed by another group before the birds made it popular. The Limelighters. The Limelighters. Never heard of them, but I looked it up. How about that? But it's been sung many times by people like, Judy Collins, Bruce Springsteen, The Seekers, Roger McGinn, Wilson Phillips, Jan and Dean, Marlena Dietrich, and yes, even Dolly Parton sang it. So there you have it. And many, many more. It's been popular. For everything, turn, 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 based on Ecclesiastes 3. Its appearance in the 60s coincided, of course, with that event that we know of as the Vietnam War, and it became a call for peace. I had envisioned calling this sermon Hippie Dreams, but I decided not to. Not so fast, however, with the call for peace. The sing-songy symmetry, you know, good and bad, birth, death, laughing, weeping, loving, hating, war, and peace, makes it not just a peace song, unfortunately. I've had folks request this reading quite often for both funerals and weddings, because you've got love and hate, and you've got funerals, you've got death and birth. So it comes up a lot in ministry, people wanting this song. But I remember one person in particular, and it was at a funeral for a family member. He did not want me to use that last phrase. A time for war and a time for peace. So he asked me to eliminate that part because of the mention of war in it. So it's good, but it's got that other part to it that we don't like as much. It's not convenient for our tastes because we would like it always to be a time for the good things in the good column and not the bad things in the bad column. Ecclesiastes, my favorite book in the Old Testament, by the way, is part of a wisdom book collection in the Old Testament, and true to form, it derives its teaching not from divine revelation, but from observation of what's going on around you, okay? That's what distinguishes wisdom as a genre from the other collections in the Bible, like the books of Moses or the prophets, and they always say, "Thus saith the Lord." Wisdom doesn't say that. Wisdom says, look at what's happening. I think we can find some wisdom if we look at what's happening and see what we might do about it. So, accordingly, Ecclesiastes is a little less idealistic. We have to be frank about that. Instead of saying, let there be no war, it says there is a time for war and a time for peace. I'm going to look into that a little bit today because it bothers me. Now, I appreciate the honesty of Ecclesiastes. That's why I like it. It's just plain down honest stuff. As taken as I am with the hippie dream of peace always, never any more war, I have to be honest about what I see. And in my lifetime, I haven't seen a whole lot of peace. I've seen a lot of war. And so, at least by observation standards, that's what's out there. It really is. We have to be honest about that. It's been a mix of times of war and times of peace. It's been a mix of times of hate and times of love. My guess is, if we go back to the dawn of human consciousness, it's probably been that way forever. So what's a person to do? Well, this is where we divide the congregation. We're not going to do it literally, but this is where we divide the congregation to those who see the glass as less full or half full and those who see it as half empty. The optimists and the pessimists. We're not going to ask for a show of hands. I will admit that I tend to be more on the pessimistic side. Maybe that's because I'm 63 going on dead and have seen so much going on. What should my response be? Well, the problem with people on the half-empty side, the more pessimistic side, is that we have a tendency. I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying that we have a tendency to respond to this symmetry of good and bad, to slumber into a state of indifference. It's always been that way. Heck, it's always going to be that way. And whatever I do isn't going to make much of a difference. So that's just the way it is. I'm just going to live my life and forget about it all, just be happy as much as I can. That is a tendency of pessimistic people. And so that's been a tendency of mine. I have to admit it. It's not right. And I have to correct myself, but that's the tendency. And so it is to those of you who are half-empty folks that maybe this message applies to more. I think Elie Wiesel had one of the best responses to our indifference about injustice. Elie, you may recall, was a Hungarian-born Jew who lost his mother, sister, and father to the Nazis in both Auschwitz and Buchenwald. So I think he has a right to speak. And here's what he says. In one of his works, we must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And I call that to mind when I look at the problems of our world, even the problems of our city. Tomorrow night, the major justice event of the year for us, it's Cage's Nehemiah Action, Congregations Acting for Justice and Empowerment. It's at, in case you don't know, 6:30 p.m., Old National Bank Events Center. But wait, I say, as a pessimist, is it really going to do any good? And wasn't that the night I was planning to go to the movies? Or eat out? Or go to an Otters game? Or I'm so tired after work, I bet I'm not going to have the energy to go. And besides, I've had a friend a couple of years now who said he's going to stop by. Maybe Monday night will be the night he stops by. You know, it's just not really convenient. It's not convenient. And so, since my glass is half empty, I say, yeah, I think I'll just blow it off. But when it comes to convenience, a couple of questions come to mind. What about the person who's spending 60% of her income on rent and utilities? Far in excess of the ideal 30%. That's the national standard. A person should not have to pay more than 30% for rent and utilities. We have people paying 60% and more. What about the person holding down three jobs simply to pay rent and utilities? Is that convenient? These folk are in trouble not because they are lazy. They are in trouble because our community lacks safe, affordable housing. And that's something Cage is very concerned about and has suggested solutions for, and they will be presented tomorrow night to the leaders of our community, mayor and city council members. Then there's a person you become acquainted with. Her name is Yvonne Martin, no relationship to me. One of our CAGE members who had to put her son in a treatment facility in Missouri because that was the closest place she could find where they could treat her autistic son for a mental problem that he has. Because in Indiana, there is no place where you can receive treatment as a young person if you are both autistic and have a mental problem, diagnosed with a mental problem. The autism kicks you out. The closest place she could find was over in Missouri. It's not convenient for her. We have a crisis. We have a crisis of affordable housing or the lack of affordable housing, and we have a crisis of children receiving a dual diagnosis. CAGE operates on people power, and yeah, it's not convenient. It's not fun. We ask our elected officials to respond to the research that we have done over the last 4 or 5 months in those two areas, affordable housing and dual diagnosis of children and youth. It's not convenient. It's not relaxing or fun to demand justice. It's hard work. And yes, it is true. We will never fully eradicate injustice. Never. We will never fully eradicate hatred. We will never fully eradicate hatred and war. We will never eradicate them entirely. No excuse, however, for silence or indifference. A few years back, we faced the issue of opioid overdose. You remember that issue? It's been about 5 years ago now. And people were dying in our community because of the use of opioids. Our research told us that the best practice nationally would be to make Narcan available in both fire and police vehicles. And the first response we got from the community at large among well-meaning people was, it'll never happen. You're never going to convince the police or the fire to do something they don't want to do. Well, once the first domino fell, fire company also fell. And now Narcan is in all police vehicles and sheriff's vehicles of the county and fire vehicles as well. And now we have documented stories of saved lives. It would not have been convenient for those whose lives were saved to have died, but we stepped in the gap. Sure, these are not all final solutions, and in particular, the Narcan is not the final solution to the drug problem. Of course it isn't, but it is a piece of the puzzle. And we are not absolved from guilt if we do not do what we can do. The presence of injustice in our world does not absolve us from promoting justice. Desmond Tutu, you probably know that name from a little bit of current South African history, had an ingenious way of talking about our indifference as well. He said, if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Good point. Good point. Today, around the table, we recognize the death of a person, the death of a prophet, the death of our leader in the fight for justice, whose name happens to be Jesus from the little insignificant town of Nazareth. He stood no chance of complete victory against the Roman onslaught, against Roman injustice. He knew that. He knew he would never receive and achieve total justice for what he was standing for, peace and love and the things that we think about when we think about Jesus. But in his death, he did inspire a movement that still hounds the injustices of every empire since Rome. And like I said during Resurrection Sunday, he just won't go away. Jesus and his people will not go away. We will continue to fight injustice. The struggle is worth it, my friends. Injustice will always be with us. Yeah, there will always be a time for war. I believe that. I won't like it, but I do believe that. But let us at least extend the times of peace. let us at least extend the times of justice. And the way to peace is ensuring justice for everyone. Hope to see you tomorrow night, 6:30, at the ONB Event Center, when we will add our voices to the voices of 23 other congregations. Hopefully 1,200 to 1,400 people will be there asking for justice, because we are not absolved of involvement just because the final answer has yet to be written. Amen and amen.